And, you know, you were talking about the MINDAC trial, which, as you say, was just published in the New England Journal. And I agree. When I first saw that trial design, I was like, wow, that's different. And then I was like, well, I guess I'll wait until the data comes out to figure out what it means. But now here it is. So it was certainly an incredible undertaking to actually do this study. Can you sort of talk at a basic level about how they approach the question and what you think about the data? I mean, you kind of talked about that a little bit, but in terms of daily practice, can you go through what they did?
Yeah, so this was a large trial, node positive, node negative, HER2 positive, HER2 negative, sort of across the board, lots of different patients. And that point is important too, because it's somewhat difficult to draw conclusions you're absolutely confident about in all these subsets, because they were not huge subsets of patients. So, you know, predicting that you don't need chemotherapy in HER2 positive disease, which might be suggested from the results here, again, is based on a relatively small number of patients. So at the present time, I would not defer giving chemotherapy, HER2 directed therapy, to somebody based on a low score from mammoprint, just as an example. But this was a large undertaking, as you pointed out, thousands upon thousands of patients. And it was basically looking at a clinical assessment of risk of recurrence using adjuvant online, which is more often than not available, and looking at a genomic evaluation of risk of recurrence using the mammoprint. And then really focusing on the population where there's discordance between those two assessments, patients who had high clinical risk, low genomic risk, and vice versa. And then looking at the outcome of patients who got chemotherapy or not in those populations. And they basically make the argument that you can use this tool as an adjunct to clinical assessment, particularly in that discordant group, and by doing so, avoid giving chemotherapy unnecessarily where there's little added advantage, at least based on prognosis. It's not really predictive at this point. I would view this sort of as a test of the test. And, you know, I think it could be argued, how much additional information do you actually get over the recurrence score or other similar tools? But again, it is a molecular assay. And I would point out that about, I don't know, a decade ago, there was a paper in the New England Journal of Medicine that looked at each of these different tools. And number one, recognized they're all looking at different genes, but they all sort of came down to the same conclusion about prognosis. So I think that we have a number of these molecular assays that are currently available that can certainly be used for making prognosis assessments. I think at the present time, the ability to predict is still not uniform across all these tests. And the test that has the most validity for predicting the benefit of chemotherapy, in my view, still remains the recurrence score.
Are there clinical situations where you utilize the mammoprint or the 70-gene assay?
Not yet. We haven't adopted that as adding a whole lot right now. Now, that said, I think it is level one evidence. This is a big trial. It's got a lot of patients in it. I think their prognostic information is valid. I think in order to replicate what was done in this trial, you sort of have to use adjuvant online. That's number one. Adjuvant online is not available. So, you know, making the case that you can use other things to arrive at the same information, I think maybe that's true, maybe it's not. But I think it is a tool that could be used to suggest the prognosis of patients. And there are some things that I still don't understand, having read this paper six times, if not more. Maybe I'm a simple person, but I just struggled through this. I'm not kidding.
The other thing that I wasn't really clear about that I think Cliff Huddis and Mara Dickler got into with the New England Journal editorial is whether or not it's really clear that there was not chemo benefit in the patients with the low, 70-gene assay. Because even though it wasn't statistically significant, the hazard rate in all these subsets is always sort of lower. It's not statistically significant, but it's like 0.78, 0.8, whatever. Do you know what I'm talking about?
Right. You can't, and I agree, because I think, you know, although the benefit might be small, you can't rule out that there could be a benefit here. And there's also the subset that didn't make any sense to me that had, I think it was the clinical low and genomic high, And again, there was no benefit from, you know, it sort of discounted the value of the test.
Right.
So I don't know what to do with that.